Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us today. Here is our latest update on COVID-19 in Pennsylvania. As of 12 a.m. this morning, we have 1,599 new cases of COVID-19. This brings our statewide total to 38,652 Pennsylvanians who have tested positive for COVID-19 in all 67 counties. Approximately 2,160 of our total cases are now in healthcare workers. Approximately 6,153 of our total cases are associated with 418 long-term care living facilities, which include nursing homes and personal care homes. Tragically, we have now had 1,492 deaths among those who have tested positive for COVID-19. And to date, all of our deaths have been in adult patients. As of noon today, hospitals are reporting that approximately 2,746 patients are currently hospitalized due to COVID-19. 662 of those that are hospitalized are on a ventilator or a breathing machine. Across our healthcare system, approximately 47% of hospital beds, 40% of intensive care unit beds, and nearly 70% of our ventilators are still available. And here are my daily reminders. Please wash your hands with soap and water for at least 20 seconds, or the time that it takes to sing Happy Birthday twice. Use hand sanitizer if soap and water are not available. Cover any coughs or sneezes with your elbow, not with your hands. And try not to touch your face, especially after touching surfaces. Clean surfaces frequently. And if you have to go out for life-sustaining activities, please wear a mask, especially if you're going to come into contact with others. These everyday prevention measures can help slow the spread of the dangerous virus, COVID-19, and give hope to our families and our communities that we can and will recover together. If you have questions about your health, please contact your health care provider. If you need mental health resources, and the governor will be talking shortly about mental health, because you or someone you know is experiencing a mental health crisis, please contact the crisis text line by texting PA to 741-741 or call the statewide support and referral helpline at 1-855-284-2494. Again, 1-855-284-2494. For the most reliable information regarding Pennsylvania's response to COVID-19, please visit our website at health.pa.gov. And what is most important for Pennsylvanians to remember is please stay calm, stay home, and stay safe. And now I will turn things over to Governor Wolf. Governor.
Thank you, Dr. Levine, and thank you, everybody, for joining me today. And Ramadan Mubarak. Now, today, we reached the 7-week mark since the first cases of COVID-19 were identified in Pennsylvania. For more than a month, we've been limiting our trips outside our homes. And many of us are having negative feelings like anger and frustration and short-temperedness. These negative feelings are coming in two main forms. First, they're coming as stress from the hardships brought on by the pandemic. Thoughts like, how can I pay my rent? And where can I get food? Second, these negative feelings are coming from anxiety, which is a trickier subject because it's not caused by one specific stressor. Many of the activities that help reduce anxiety have been made more difficult by COVID-19. Things like reaching out to talk to a friend or working out in a gym. So first, I want to address stress. I know many Pennsylvanians are feeling stress from the economy. We've had a record surge of more than 1.6 million applicants for unemployment compensation. Our unemployment compensation system just wasn't built for this volume, and it's frustrated many people who have had long wait times on the phone or slow email responses. I've heard these struggles, and we have made changes to help us meet the demand, including bringing in 500 staff members from other labor and industry offices and agencies. We've brought in 500 staff members from the Unemployment Compensation Office with responding to calls and emails. We've brought back 70 experienced unemployment compensation retirees to help, and we have hired more than 100 new employees. We also launched IBM Watson, an automated virtual phone assistant, which will reduce call wait times by answer and direct 90,000 calls. We've also begun assisting Pennsylvanians with accessing new federal programs, and this includes paying out a total of nearly $1 billion to recipients of a program that provides an additional $600 per week to unemployment amounts, and assisting self-employed independent contractors and others who are not typically eligible for unemployment compensation with accessing a brand new federal program for them. We had more than 90,000 people apply for this program in the very first week, and we anticipate issuing the first payments in the next several weeks. Of course, knowing unemployment compensation is coming isn't going to help if your cupboards are empty or your bills are due. And that's why we also need to directly address these stressors as much as possible. If you're struggling with food, Feeding Pennsylvania at www.feedingpa.org and Hunger Free Pennsylvania at www.hungerfreepa.org. They're the hubs of information for where people can get assistance locally and in their communities. If you're struggling with utility payments like electric or water bills, the Pennsylvania Utility Commission offers a list of resources ranging from budget billing to hardship funds. If you're struggling with another stressor or unsure of where to go, dial 211. Or text your zip code to hashtag 898-211 to be connected to a local resource specialist through the United Way. Or visit compass.state.pa.us for more information or to apply online at any time to a variety of programs that can help you or your family get through this challenging time. As I said earlier, you might also be struggling with anxiety. Many of our typical ways of dealing with anxiety have been eliminated. We might be getting less exercise because our gym is closed, or because we're not running errands or walking around our workplace. We might not be getting enough sleep because we're off our usual schedules. We might not be eating healthy because we're at home all day. We might not be talking as much to our friends and family, especially parents or grandparents in a nursing home if we can't talk to them, or someone who's incarcerated. Those are the folks we can't talk to. And we might be hearing a lot of scary information from news or social media. All of these things will contribute to feeling more anxious, so we need to work to combat them as much as we can. We need to look for new ways to combat anxiety, like going for a midday walk or setting up a virtual happy hour with coworkers. And most of all, we need to reach out to one another and talk about our negative feelings. It helps to know that you're not the only one feeling isolated or exhausted. So let me be the first to assure you, you're not. If you're having trouble finding ways to cope with stress or anxiety, and you're not sure who to reach out to, text PA to 741-741. Or, once again, call 1-855-284-2494. We'll have the list that's behind me on social media, and I encourage everyone to share these resources. Or better yet, give your loved ones a call and see how they're doing. The Office of Advocacy and Reform will be launching a new Facebook page next Friday that will make other resources available to help reduce toxic stress and anxiety, as well as resources to help prevent elder abuse, child abuse, and domestic violence while we're under stay-at-home orders. We're all in this fight against COVID-19 together, And as I've said many times, we all have a part to play. To be the strongest we can be in our efforts to ward off this deadly virus, COVID-19, we need to ensure we have the best mental health possible. So please, if you need assistance, reach out. Give us a call at 1-877-PA-HEALTH. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. We'll open it up for some questions now. First for you from WBRE and ABC 27. Senator Pat Toomey released his own plan for reopening Pennsylvania, and it calls for the most of Pennsylvania to resume some level of economic activity immediately, saying Pennsylvania's health systems have not been overwhelmed. Does May 8th remain the earliest date some regions of Pennsylvania could see reduced restrictions, and are there ongoing discussions about any changes to the timeline?
May 8th is still the time when we start the reopening process. Again, some sectors are already beginning to open, and I mentioned that just two nights ago. Senator Toomey and I talk all the time, and he told me that he was going to be making these suggestions, and we disagree that in some areas we just don't agree. But we're both trying to do exactly the same thing, and that is make sure that Pennsylvania gets back on its feet as quickly as possible, at the same time keeping Pennsylvanians as safe as we possibly can.
From WTAJ, from an independent appliance store, this is a yes or no question. Are appliances essential? And if yes, why are area appliances stores why are area appliance stores permitted to be open? And if no, why are Lowe's and Home Depot permitted to sell them?
Actually, Lowe's and Home Depot are open because they sell essential services, things that people need to keep their house in order or clean. They are open because of that. Again, May 8th is when we start to reopen Pennsylvania, and if you're not selling online, that's the date that the places of business and parts of the Commonwealth will be open.
From Penn Live, is there any reconsideration being given to providing a waiver to allow garden centers to reopen sooner than possibly May 8th, since this is planting season and much like construction, it's an outdoor activity?
We're always having conversations, but again, we're looking to start the reopening process on May 8th.
From WTAE, what is your reaction to Senator McConnell's comments about states filing bankruptcy? What does Pennsylvania need from the federal government to avoid bankruptcy?
I disagree with Senator McConnell, and I think we need the federal government to do what it's doing, and that is provide funds to help states meet the COVID epidemic.
And then from WHTM, quite a few viewers share common concerns and are wondering if sooner rather than later they'll be able to enjoy golf, camping, and getting their dogs groomed.
We want to keep people safe. I want, like every other Pennsylvania, I want to get back to life as it was as soon as we can. But I also want to keep Pennsylvanians safe, and we all want that. So we're working as quickly as we can. May 8th is the date that we're going to start the reopening process, the most part in Pennsylvania. And again, the idea is to get Pennsylvania reopened, but keep people safe.
Our next questions are for the Secretary. Dr. Levine, the Philadelphia Inquirer and WESA have a question about confusion over the benchmark that will be used for counties to become eligible for reopening. There apparently was some confusion over what was posted on the website, and is it 50 cases per 100,000 residents over the course of 14 days, or is it 50 cases per 100,000 residents per day over 14 days? Some questions about new cases versus cases in total.
So we did revise that on our website, and it was really just a clarification. So I would go to pa.gov, and you can see the exact criteria that we'll be using. But I want to make a point, and the governor has emphasized this before, is that that metric is just one piece of the puzzle. So we're going to be looking at many different factors in addition to that one metric in terms of the counties that will involve the region or regions that might be opening. So that will include, for instance, the stability of the hospital systems. Are the hospital systems overwhelmed with patients, or the hospital systems are doing and the hospitals are doing quite well? Well, in terms of their capacity, it'll involve other factors in terms of the numbers of cases and the availability of testing and the availability of doing contact tracing. In addition, I know that we're going to be working with the Carnegie Mellon University on some data and some modeling that will help us as well. So there's a number of different factors which will go into the governor's decision about which counties or in which region will go from red to yellow.
From Fox 56, several places are offering antibody testing. Is this something the state is looking into doing, and have you been in contact with those already offering the test in state to find out how many people have antibodies?
Well, so we do get the information about the antibody tests into our data system, NEDS. But there are, of course, a lot of different antibody tests. Some have been approved by the FDA, and most have not been approved by the FDA. We are looking, and our lab director is looking at these tests, and when the time is right, we will choose one of the antibody tests and start to do that testing in our laboratory. It's going to be really more of a surveillance tool in terms of our epidemiologists, our disease investigators to look at what the clinical utility will mean, meaning the utility for each individual patient is not clear. Because what we don't know is how effective those antibodies are and how protective they are and how long they'll last. But it will give us some useful surveillance information. And when we have the right tests, we will start to do that at our laboratory in Exton.
As a follow-up, how effective is it in letting people know their risk for getting the virus?
So it is not clear how effective it is at that. So one would think that if you have antibodies to COVID-19, it means that you are protected from getting it again. But we don't know that. It's very possible that these antibodies are partially effective in terms of preventing an infection or limiting how serious that infection is, but we don't know how much and we don't know how long they'll last. So there's lots of new things that we need to learn.
From Spotlight PA, what is your message for Pennsylvania's community health nurses who are doing the key work of contact tracing needed to reopen the state, but have endured years of cutbacks and fights to save their jobs?
Well, so I have always been a strong supporter of our community health nurses, and I've traveled to all the regions, all the health regions of Pennsylvania to meet them and to talk with them and to learn from them. I think that they're doing and have been doing an absolutely fantastic job, and my message to our community health nurses is thank you.
Questions from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and Spotlight PA regarding contact tracing. Massachusetts 2 weeks ago began hiring 500 people to help with contact tracing. How many more people do you think Pennsylvania will need to hire to mount an effective contact tracing effort for the state, especially when Pennsylvania is understaffed when it comes to the public health nurses doing the work?
Mm-hmm. So our public health nurses will be taking the lead, as they always do, in terms of disease investigations on the ground and in the local areas. We're also going to involve our hospitals and health systems in that effort, and we will be hiring individuals to help us with that contact tracing. And we also going to looking at what specific technology might be able to help us in this endeavor. So I don't have a specific number for you, but we will need to hire people. We're also going to be working with our county and municipal health departments. Again, as I've said before, I have daily conversations with Commissioner Farley from Philadelphia and Commissioner Bogan from Allegheny County, as well as our team talking to all our county muni health directors, and they'll need resources as well to do that contact tracing.
Will the state allow any regions to reopen without additional tracing staff?
We will be taking a look region by region about what staff are necessary, but we will make sure that adequate contact tracing is available in any region.
From WPVI, Philadelphia is nearly 7.5 times the benchmark you set forth to move forward to the yellow phase. That doesn't give much hope to Philadelphia to reopen soon. When do you anticipate Philadelphia reopening? In months, 3 months, or 6 months? people deserve to know some estimate based on the data you have.
It's impossible for me to give you a specific estimate. As Dr. Fauci has said and the governor has repeated, the virus determines the timeline. We don't determine the timeline. We have been in contact with, again, our partners in Philadelphia and in the collar counties of the southeast. That is the area where we're seeing the most new cases of COVID-19, where the hospitals are most challenged. And so I don't know when it will open, but I'm a positive and optimistic person, and the Southeast will open.
The next question is for the governor. Governor, from the PLS reporter, Governor Murphy said New Jersey would likely will likely forced to return some of its fair federal. Excuse me, I'm sorry, let me start again. Governor Murphy said New Jersey will likely be forced to return some of its share of federal relief funding because of restrictions on its use. Will Pennsylvania need to do the same?
Yeah, and I'm not sure exactly what Governor Murphy was referring to, but we have looked at that. Our budget secretary has looked at that, and we don't believe that, that Pennsylvania will be returning any of the federal funds that we got.
And as a follow-up, what is your opinion on congressional leaders saying they would rather states be able to declare bankruptcy than get more direct federal aid?
As I said earlier, I don't agree with that.
From WKOK, when will there be some transparency on the waiver process?
The waiver process, we continue to work to wrap that up. It is not finished yet. I think before it's finished, it would... Anything that brings that out into the open would give a distorted view of what actually happened in the waiver process. Again, the waiver process was an attempt in Pennsylvania to make sure that the businesses that were determined to be either essential or non-essential, that there was some avenue of appeal. I think we were the only state, or certainly the first state, to do that. And we were trying to bring a level of common sense and fairness to the process. So that's what I think we did. We need to get to the end of the total process to make sure that we're in a position to make that public.
Also from WKOK, how are you balancing working with other governors and working with the Pennsylvania General Assembly?
I think all of us are trying to do what's right for the citizens we serve. That's true of each of the governors I've spoken with and I work with. In our region, in different regions of the Commonwealth, and it's also true of the members of the General Assembly, Republican and Democrat. We're all trying to do what we think is best to keep Pennsylvanians safe and get reopened as quickly as possible.
From WGAL, with the regional approach to reopening, is there concern about traveling from region to region when one reopens, and also potential travel to neighboring states?
Yeah, I mean, again, we're and this is why the objective criteria have to be weighed with some subjective criteria, because right now with the statewide shelter-in-place order, the statistics are one thing. When people start moving from county to county or even from state to state, those numbers might change, and they might change fairly quickly. We have to be ready to retrace our steps. If that happens. So we're going to do our best in determining which counties should be open. But as you point out, the movement between counties, between regions, may change things.
From News Talk 104.1, Governor Wolf, Congressman Keller and the GOP congressional delegation sent you a letter today asking for clarity on how the funding bill that was just signed by President Trump will be distributed by your administration. What specifics can you provide for rural communities and businesses in need of those funds to survive?
Well, two things. First of all, there are a lot of directives attached to the money that Pennsylvania will get. The Congress, of which this delegation was a part, set out exactly how states should distribute this money. The other thing is that here in Pennsylvania, the General Assembly and the executive branch will work together to figure out where we have the ability to do this. We'll work together to figure out the best way to distribute these funds to Pennsylvanians.
From WTAE, Governor Wolf, a recent study showed 106,000 clean energy jobs were lost in the month of March and that Pennsylvania was among the hardest hit states. The same study said the clean energy industry could lose more than 500,000 jobs in the months ahead. What do you see as the long-term impact and the reduction of clean energy jobs, and what would your administration do to try to reverse that?
Yeah, I think the loss of jobs is something that's affecting pretty much every sector. And I think as we go into the new world, the post-shutdown world, things are just going to be different. But in terms of clean energy, it seems to me that there's a very bright future there, and that there will be a lot of jobs, and that industry will bounce back.
From the Associated Press, can Governor Wolf give a rundown of what was discussed on today's call with Vice President Pence and what the Vice President told governors?
It was once again some things that the federal government is doing in terms of testing and trying to make the increased testing capacity for states. But I think some of the best things were what we learned from other governors who were giving their experiences, some of the things that are working for them. It was a very helpful meeting.
From Penn Live, what is the case count threshold for moving to yellow developed in tandem with the multi-state council you've been Pennsylvania working in? Are there any other aspects of the recovery plan that you would say have been significantly shaped by consultations with the neighboring states so far? And can you offer any examples?
Well, we're talking on a daily basis with the other partners. But as I've always said, each state is going to determine on its own what its criteria are. So we can get ideas, and we do, from other states. But each state, New Jersey, New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, Delaware, and Pennsylvania, will make their own decisions as to exactly when they reopen and how they reopen. In Pennsylvania, our decision is based on the things that we have done, some of those ideas we've gathered from other states, sometimes in the region, sometimes beyond the region. Again, what we're trying to do is figure out how we can get back on our feet again, reopen Pennsylvania in a way that helps the economy but does not jeopardize the health and safety of Pennsylvanians.
Governor, from the Times News, as Governor Wolf plans the state's reopening, how are you preparing for the possibility of a second wave in the fall?
That's a big concern, and one of the things we don't know is how big that wave is going to be, but we do know that it's going to be determined in part by how we behave. I think to the extent that we wear masks when we're out, even if we're in the yellow or even green zone as Pennsylvania begins the reopening process, to the extent we avoid unnecessary trips away from our home, to the extent we wear masks, to the extent we do everything we can to wash our hands and pay due respect to the needs of our neighbors and friends and family, we're going to actually bend that curve. And when the fall comes, the increase will not be as great as it otherwise might. As you get into flu season, I think we can all expect and anticipate that we're going to have new problems. We just don't know how many problems. But we do know that if we all practice responsible behavior in the intervening time, however long that intervening time is, the resurgence in the fall is not going to be as great.
Our next question is for Secretary Levine. Secretary, from Spotlight PA, does today's death count of 1,492 include any probable deaths? And is the state completely excluding these types of deaths until further notice?
So this is just confirmed deaths. We had talked about the difference yesterday and the difficulty we had in sort of reconciling that. And so for the foreseeable future, we'll be using confirmed deaths.
From WFMZ, Senator Toomey is advocating allowing doctors and hospitals to resume elective surgery immediately so long as safety benchmarks are met. What is your reaction to his proposal?
Well, so we are having those active discussions as we speak. We're looking at a number of different parameters in terms of allowing hospitals and ambulatory surgical facilities to do those procedures and to do non-emergency procedures, but often procedures that are really quite urgent for people's health. And so we'll have more of that soon.
Secretary, we have multiple outlets, Penn Live, WGAC, WNEP, WTAJ, ABC News 27, and WTAJ also asking about the regions and why those regions were selected. Could you elaborate on that, please?
Sure. Well, the regions that we're going to be talking about are basically our health regions, and we have them. We've had them for years now, and so that's how we'll be considering the regions and the different metrics, but other factors that will determine which regions will go from red to yellow on May 8th.
WTAG also asks, the state ordered stay at home by county. Now it's going to reopen by region. Central Pennsylvania counties have relatively few cases when compared to others. But the neighboring counties like Blair, Cambria, and Center are in three different regions. All three regions have counties with cases in the hundreds or even thousands. Would it make more sense to have Central Pennsylvania region so people living in the counties with few cases can get back to normal life?
Well, as the governor was speaking about, people tend to travel and stuff. So we really feel that this regional approach is best. And so we're using our health regions as the model.
And then from the Allentown Morning Call, how will outbreaks at long-term care facilities factor into reopening decisions? Should a county and a region be delayed for reopening if the bulk of cases are contained at one or a few long-term care facilities?
Well, so we're looking at the cases that are in a county and the counties in a region, and those long-term care living facilities do exist in a county, and the staff go back and forth. So, yes, the nursing homes, personal care homes, other congregate settings will be included in those county totals.
Regarding the number of negative tests from WNEP, are there some of those negative results for people who had previously tested positive for COVID-19 and then were tested again to make sure they had completely recovered? And if so, what percentage of the negative tests would you say fall into this category?
So I don't have a specific number. Previously, actually, to determine that someone had recovered from COVID-19, you had to have two consecutive negative tests. That is no longer the CDC criteria, and we don't actually recommend a test of cure or a test of recovery, so to speak. So I think that outside of that initial flurry where those might have been done, very few of the tests now are a test of recovery.
And Secretary, our last question today is from CBS3. On Thursday, President Trump appeared to recommend ingesting disinfectant and use light therapy as treatments for COVID-19. As a medical professional, what would you say to the president is offering, would you say the president is offering dangerous advice? And are you concerned that some may actually ingest disinfectant?
Well, I can say that any type of ingesting or injecting a disinfectant or any type of compound like that would be extremely dangerous, extremely dangerous. Actually, as a pediatrician, I have seen children, young children who have ingested cleaning materials, and they've had very, very severe burns of their esophagus requiring intensive care and operations. So actually, I can tell you from my clinical experience that is a extremely dangerous thing to do, and I can't offer my highest recommendation not to do that.
Thank you, Secretary. That concludes our briefing for today. For reporters whose questions we were not able to answer, the Governor's Office and Department of Health will respond in the next 24 hours. Our next briefing will be tomorrow at noon.